From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
Sunset, East Side, San Francisco.
Border of Venus.
San Jose.
Coming up, we'll hop on board the Breathmobile.
Ready? Deep breath in.
Blow! One was there.
Bringing relief to neighborhoods with asthma. Then we'll hear about an investigation into labor violations at Fremont's Tesla electric car factory.
There's a balance between like being too comfortable and fearing that you're not going to have a place to live.
And we'll hear about how a couple who met online translated their romance into real life.
I remember saying, you know, Savita, I love you. And that's when you said, I love you too, but I must do what the other zebras are doing.
Working on understanding on Cross Currents. Stay with us. Asthma rates tend to be high in places where poverty is concentrated, and dealing with it, all that time and money, makes poverty worse. In West Oakland, kids go to the ER for asthma twice as often as the average Alameda County kid. One of the ways to bring relief into these neighborhoods comes in the form of a bus. Reporter Sam Harnett reports.
It's close quarters in this children's asthma clinic, but then again, this isn't your typical clinic. The Breathmobile is a 33-foot Winnebago RV staffed with a nurse, a pediatrician, a respiratory therapist, and a translator. Most important, it's completely free, paid for by the Prescott Joseph Center in West Oakland. Today, the Breathmobile is at Wilson Elementary School in San Leandro.
Sorry? You got better at blowing? All right.
At the front of the bus, 8-year-old Miguel Rio's mom, Jeanette, is talking with the Breathmobile's translator, James Acuna, about how Miguel has been doing with his asthma. Meanwhile, Miguel is about to take a pulmonary function test called spirometry with Nurse Spencer Weir.
Why don't you tell Sam what we do?
Well, we have to blow, and when we blow, sometimes a chicken, and it runs, and it has to go all the way to the red flag.
Well, that takes a lot of blowing.
Yeah.
Dr. Jennifer Louie, the pediatrician on board, says spirometry is a luxury they have on the Breathmobile because they spend 30 to 45 minutes for an initial visit instead of the 10 to 15 minutes allocated at a standard clinic.
What do we do first, though? Right? We want to breathe.
We get the air, we put on the nose clip, and when we put on the nose clip, we start getting air a little, and once we're already ready, we blow.
Huh. All right. Are you all ready?
As Miguel blows into the air tube, the machine graphs his intake and exhale volumes on the screen.
Relax. Ready? Deep breath in.
Blow! One was there.
All right. Miguel, perfect as usual. Awesome.
How long have you had asthma?
I don't know, for like almost 2 or 3 weeks.
2 or 3 weeks?
Dr. Louie tells Miguel's mother, Jeanette Rio, that the reason her son has been having trouble for the last 2 or 3 weeks is because of pollen and the changing seasons. Jeanette says Miguel has had asthma since he was 4.
The doctor and, you know, all the personnel here help you a lot understanding more, because sometimes you go to the doctor and they have like 15 minutes just to take you in and, you know, like, how's he doing, this and that. And here, you know, you can take more time asking questions.
After the spirometer test, mother and son take a short questionnaire together on asthma triggers and treatment.
Cleaning products like bleach?
Yes.
Yeah. Cats, dogs, birds?
No.
Yes.
Yes.
Pollen, weeds, and grass?
No.
Yes. Yes. And lizards, snakes, and fish?
No.
Okay.
No lizards.
All right.
We don't even have a lizard.
I know, but they don't trigger your asthma.
Okay.
What?
The Breathmobile visits mainly low-income areas where not only pollution, but home conditions trigger asthma attacks. Translator and driver James Acuna explains what the staff encounters driving from school to school.
If they're living in poor homes and they got a lot of mold in their walls, and the, you know, landlords are taking care of business, we find that a lot as well. We're finding people living in poor homes who have cockroaches and rats and mice in there. So it really depends on where we're at. And I think though, in West Oakland is right now is one of our tough spots.
So they teach families about small life changes, such as removing a rug, dusting curtains, and avoiding potential triggers like dairy and pollen.
Do not allow smoking in the home.
Yes.
Do not eat cold foods.
No.
Miguel and Jeanette Rio have both learned a lot since coming to the Breathmobile.
You know, like, see, like, this questionnaire, I didn't know, like, bleach, that it was bad for them, and I was using bleach all the time in my house. You know, like, hairspray, I didn't know that the hairspray, you know, was causing that, perfume. You know, there are all the things that I've been learning here that I now are helping me to keep his asthma control.
After the questionnaire, pediatrician Jennifer Louie brings the Rios in for a consultation.
Since we last saw him, has he missed any school because of his asthma?
No.
Okay, good.
Children with asthma miss a lot of school, and that's not only bad for students, but districts as well, because they lose state funding. Dr. Washington Burns, director at the Prescott Joseph Center, says the $515,000 cost of the Breathmobile is offset by what it saves districts by keeping asthmatic students in school.
Every time a kid misses school, the school district loses $75, if that's a per diem that the state pays. It's $75 to $100. In Oakland Unified School Districts alone, there's 6,000 kids with asthma, right? And the average time that an asthmatic kid is out of school is 2.5 days. Do the math, 6,000 times 2.5 times $75 comes over $1 million that the school district saves if we keep those kids in school, okay? So, and it makes the kids more productive.
Recent data show Breathmobiles across the country lower asthmatic ER visits by over 70%, saving huge costs individually and for Medi-Cal and Medicare. Burns says he wants to extend Breathmobile services to adults once the pediatric program is more established.
Are you using your albuterol before you play at recess every time? Good.
And at PE.
Oh, good. Excellent.
To keep Miguel Rio in school, he and his family must understand how and when to take asthma medication. Dr. Louie spends a good portion of the visit explaining how his mom should manage all of his different medicines. Then, at the end, the doctor gives Jeanette Rio a personalized plan for how to control his asthma. It's time for the next patient to come in and for Miguel to head back to school. The Breathmobile is an important place for children at a school like Wilson Elementary. The grounds are downwind from the Oakland Airport and only blocks away from the 880 freeway. As kids empty the playground after recess, you can hear the trucks on the roads nearby and watch jets overhead as they prepare for landing. That's just part of the background noise for the kids who live here. In San Leandro, I'm Sam Harnett for Cross Currents.
Since that story originally aired in 2013, the Breathmobile has expanded to serve 9 cities in the Bay Area. Maybe there's one in your neighborhood. Find the details at kalw.org and click Cross Currents. You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. California isn't known for its auto plants, but Fremont-based Tesla Motors is making its mark on the state and the region. The Tesla factory has capacity to produce 100,000 vehicles a year, and demand is so strong that founder Elon Musk plans to grow the plant to 5 times its current size. But as San Jose Mercury News investigative reporter Lou Hansen discovered, this growth doesn't come without some costs. Last year, a serious workplace injury at Tesla revealed a common practice in the American auto industry. The company was using underpaid and overworked contract labor to expand its factory. KALW's Angela Johnston spoke to Hansen about his investigation.
Tell me what got you interested in reporting this story. How did you come across it?
Well, I cover Tesla and green energy for the Mercury News business department, and a lawsuit was filed last year involving a worker that was seriously injured on the Tesla site. So we got a hold of the lawsuit and wanted to follow up on some of the allegations that were found in it, some of the claims. It was a man who's about 42 years old, Gregor Lesnik, who came over from Slovenia to work on the new paint factory at the Tesla plant. So he worked there for 3 months, and after that he was seriously injured in a fall through the paint shop roof.
And when did you realize that, okay, there might be something more to this story?
I think there's a couple parts to the lawsuit that were interesting. One was the fact that Mr. Lesnik, who was injured, was getting paid wages less than $5 an hour. He had signed a contract in Slovenia, and he came over with the promise of making more than he would in his home country. It was also interesting that as many as 200 Eastern European men were imported to do construction work at this paint factory on B1, B2 visas. So this type of visa is very common, and there's over 6 million of them issued around the world. So the fact that they were coming in, and this type of visa broadly bans construction work and hands-on work, was really intriguing. And there was a lot of questions that followed from that. Mm.
So what was your reporting like, you know, once you figured out that this lawsuit was something to look into more? Who else did you speak with, and what documents did you decide you wanted to analyze?
I looked at a lot of court documents. I went to speak to immigration experts. I spoke to some of the workers, and I spoke to some in the community, Eastern Europeans, to get an understanding of what's going on in that region that would motivate men to come over here for jobs. I also spoke with the companies and had regular contact with them. So it was really trying to get the whole picture from all sides. And the story, you know, once it broke, Tesla CEO Elon Musk said that they would look into this and investigate it. And Eisenman, the contractor who was doing the paint plant for Tesla, also said it was going to review all of its practices with its subcontractors.
Right. But is anyone claiming responsibility for the accident that kind of spurred this investigation?
Who's responsible for the accident is still in court, and there's a lawsuit being filed that's been filed. The companies have said that, Tesla and Eisenman have said that they are not responsible for hiring Mr. Lesnik, although they may be sorry that his accident occurred. His immediate employer, Vuzim, denies some responsibility and disputes the story that Mr. Lesnik told about the accident.
Who's paying for his hospital bills right now, or who's paying for his recovery?
No one.
Oh, so coming out of his own pocket?
The company, Vuzim, did not have workers' comp insurance. So that is in a legal claim as well.
I'm speaking with Lou Hansen, technology reporter for the Mercury News. So what does this mean for local contract workers here in the Bay Area? What is what you found show about the situation for local contract workers here?
I think it's a story that points out how vulnerable visa holders can be. They essentially have to take what their employers tell them. In this instance, the men were housed in apartments, and they're picked up every morning by a company van and brought to the work site. And then at night, they were picked up by the company van and brought back to the apartments. So there's very little freedom for them there. They really don't have a lot of places to turn.
One of the people you talked to in your story said there was widespread abuse of the B-1 visa in the Bay Area. So tell me more about that. Where else is this happening besides the Tesla plant?
The Department of Labor really doesn't have a good handle on where it's happening. They're dependent on people calling in and alerting them to possible visa violations. So what the Department of Labor does is enforces the $7.25 an hour federal minimum wage. So they believe that it's widespread. They have a hard time putting a number on it. And I think one of the problems that immigration policy experts have with the B-1 visa is it's really difficult to track. The State Department doesn't have statistics on which companies are supporting visas. They don't have statistics on where these workers are going. So once they get into the country, no one tracks them.
I think one thing that stood out to me is just the contrast of these aren't just any old cars. They're one of the most expensive, innovative cars in the world. And so just that juxtaposition of what could happen in the same place that these very expensive luxury cars are being made, that really stood out to me as this big contrast.
Yeah, Tesla so far is a luxury product. Its cars start at $80,000 and can go up to $140,000. Probably more. So it's a high-end niche so far. What these men were working on was trying to build out a little bit more capacity for the lower-priced cars, the Model 3 that's going to start at $37,000. So there is, behind any luxury product, any manufactured product, a lot of hard work. And not all of that work is going to be well paid. And I think the question is, were they displacing American jobs? Were they getting treated well, fairly? And those are the questions I think that we'll find out the answers to in the coming months.
That was San Jose Mercury News investigative reporter Lou Hansen speaking with KALW's Angela Johnston. Find a link to the investigation at KALW.org and click Cross Currents. This is Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba. And now it's time for your stories. This is San Francisco StoryCorps. You can find just about anything on the internet. That's where Savita Morty found her husband, George Drapeau. The Hayward couple met almost a decade ago. They came to the StoryCorps booth at the Contemporary Jewish Museum to reminisce on meeting face to face and their love story.
I was a little nervous about meeting you because I was so worried that when I met you in person that you would find me, or I would find you, less compelling than we'd found each other in the messages we'd shared. I'll always remember how I felt when you hugged me because I'm not a good hugger, and I don't think I'd ever been hugged like that before. Wow. Like, I just felt so hugged. I was wondering if you had a favorite story from our relationship.
Boy, that's tough to pick. I have many favorite stories from our relationship. I had both the stories that I can think of come from sleep. So, like early on when we were dating and when we were in love with each other, when we had just fallen in love with each other, I remember telling you I loved you, but you were just kind of asleep. And I don't think I had really fully understood how much you talk in your sleep by then. I didn't really get that. And I remember saying, you know, Savita, I love you. And that's when you said, I love you too, but I must do what the other zebras are doing. I'm not quite sure I hear that right. So, and I'm a curious guy, so I ask, what? And then you start talking about the zebras and how you can tell the different type of zebras apart by the patterns of the stripes on their rumps. I remember moments like that. There are many moments like that. Did you ever think you would marry a non-Indian guy? And was that ever a thought? Was that ever an issue for you?
It was actually an issue for me. I wanted to marry an Indian guy.
You did?
I did. Because I felt like it was too hard to do that cultural translation. And I wanted to live a life where I didn't have to do that. Who would understand things like, oh, when my mom gets old, she's going to come and live with me. That's what we do. Yeah. Who would accept that?
What?
And wouldn't have to, you know, someone with whom I wouldn't have to fight with that. And going out with you was a bit of a risk. I think what's really special about you and about us is that we talk about everything. You're so easy to talk to, and you're so approachable, and you're so willing to ask questions. And so the more I got to know you, the more I felt like there's no reason why this can't work. And there were other people that I had been with who had all the cultural knowledge in the background but weren't willing or ready or trusting enough to communicate like that.
Yeah.
And I almost felt like that's harder. And then now I feel like I belong with you. Wherever we live, that's my home, and that's where I belong.
That was Savita Morthy speaking with her husband, George Drapeau. Their story came to us from San Francisco StoryCorps. You can interview a loved one, too. We'll show you how at kalw.org. Click Cross Currents. And tell us who you think we should interview. If you know someone and you're like, damn, your story needs to be on the radio, well, that's why we're here. Leave us a message on our tip line at 415-264-7106. That's 415-264-7106. Can't wait to hear them. Our team includes Lila Day, Nina Gensler-Debs, Audrey Dilling, Meredith Hoddenott, Angela Johnston, Jürgen Klemm, Casey Miner, Ted Muldoon, James Rollins, Stephen Short, Judy Silber, and Jordan Winters. Today's show was engineered by Chris Hoff. The line producer was Liza Veal. Our managing editor is Jen Chien. Managing producer is Julie Kane. Ben Trefney is our news director. Our theme music is by the John Santos Quintet. Tune into Cross Currents tomorrow at 5. We'll hear from fathers trying to parent from inside prison walls.
Even though he's only 11, I don't want to lose him to the streets.
It's a San Quentin prison report for Father's Day. Tomorrow at 5 on Cross Currents from KALW News. This is the California Symphony of Walnut Creek. Their benefit this year is called Cirque du Symphonie, which takes place Saturday afternoon at the Scottish Rite Center in Oakland. Pre-performance entertainment starts at 5:30. For Cross Currents, I'm Hanat Baba.